And now the book of Isaiah, chapter 1 and verse 18. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. In the hearts of men all over the earth, there is a longing to be accepted. Everybody wants to be somebody. Everybody wants to be wanted. And the desire for identity is universal. If we could be transported today to the darkest jungles of Africa, or to the farthest reaches of the South Pacific, we would find that human nature is basically the same. Everybody wants to be wanted. To me, it appears that God has gone the limit to make known his desire to have fellowship with his people. God has given us his Son. What a gift. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. No wonder Paul wrote, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. God has given us his Spirit. God has given us his blessed and timeless Word. Let me ask you, what more can God do? How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for you in his excellent Word. What more can he say than he hath said to you who for refuge to Jesus have fled? God wants you. And God has proven in every measure of his grace just how much he wants you. My message today is entitled, The Hospitality of God. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. The hospitality of God. We observe three things in connection with God's hospitality. First of all, the hospitality of God extends a gracious invitation to all men. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. One of the characteristic words of the Bible is the word come. Over 500 times it's used in the Scripture. The Bible commences with the word come. The Bible continues with the word come. The Bible concludes with the word come. God said to Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark. Midway of Revelation, Isaiah 1:18, my text, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. And the last invitation of the Bible, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. and let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him come and take of the water of life freely. The Bible is a book of hospitality. The one word that spells it out is the word come. It is the most gracious invitation ever extended to man. And the marvelous thing about it is this: there are no strings attached. It is absolutely, unequivocally, unconditional. God did not say, if you are rich, come. Too many are poor. God did not say, if you are wise, come. Too many are simple. God did not say, if you are a king, come. Too many are of low estate. God simply says, come. And I would say to you today that without condition or credential, without exception or exaggeration, without question or qualification, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth all men from all sin. Hear again the words of my text. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Somebody already is asking, but who? Who can come? I tell you quickly, you can come. You, with all of your misgivings, with all of your shortcomings, with all of your faults, with all of your failures, with all of your fears, with all of your frustrations, with all of your burdens and problems, you can come. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. You can come today because God has invited you to come. Maybe you're asking, but preacher, how can I come? And I'm quick to tell you that you can come just as you are. I think Charlotte Elliott put it in the finest form. Just as I am, without one plea, O Lamb of God, I come to thee. You can come just like you are. You don't have to wait to get better. And chances are some of us can get no worse. So come like you are. I heard a story about the colored couple that was before the justice of the peace to get married. And the justice turned to the colored woman and said to her, do you take this man for better or worse? And she said, Judge, I don't think he's going to get any better. And God knows he can't get any worse. So I'll take him just like he is. Oh, that's the hospitality of God. You don't have to wait until you're an angel. You never will be. You don't have to wait until you've washed yourself in some mystic religion or made some pilgrimage across the country. I'm here to tell you this morning that you can come as you are, and God is standing with open arms to welcome you. And somebody might ask, but preacher, when can I come? Right now. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. In God's salvation, there is no tomorrow. It's all together today. Tomorrow is like a promissory note. It will not be good until it's paid. Tomorrow may never come. Yesterday is like a canceled check, worthless. But today is like ready cash to be spent now. Come now, let us reason together. Come, for all things are now ready. Today is the day of salvation. If you hear his voice, harden not your heart as the day of provocation. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. The time element is the most important thing now. Some people say, well, I can do like the thief on the cross and I can wait until I die. Don't do it, because most people who wait until the 11th hour die at 10:30. Don't put it off. Let me make one thing clear. You do not have to come. The acceptance of God's gracious invitation is a voluntary matter. You see, God calls and God pleads and God woos, but God never forces and God never drives. He never demands. When in the Garden of Eden, God came in the cool of the day to walk with Adam, he came not as a policeman with a billy stick, but he came as a father with a benevolent spirit. Adam, where art thou? Did God drive Noah into the ark? No. God invited Noah, and Noah accepted his invitation. Come, and all thy house into the ark. The Israelites were not compelled to join the caravan that moved to Canaan's land. Moses said, come thou with us, and we will do thee good. The disciples were not drafted into the master's service. Jesus simply passed by one day and said, come, follow me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. The universal call of God to man is not one of conscription. It is a gracious invitation. Come unto me, all of ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest, says the Master. Come, for all things are now ready, said Jesus. Whosoever will, let him come, says the Lord. He that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. This is God's gracious invitation to all men. The welcome mat is out. The royal invitation is extended. This is the hospitality of God. Come. Now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. God's hospitality extends a gracious invitation to all men. Second, the hospitality of God includes a time of reasoning within the courthouse of mercy. No wonder the psalmist said, I will sing, yea, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Into the courtroom of mercy you are asked to come. How often does a king invite a criminal to sit at his conference table to reason out anything? But the King of Glory does. The King of Glory does. He's calling you now to that conference table within the courtroom of his mercy when he pleads with you, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. It is as though God would say, sit down. Pull up a chair. Let's talk this thing over. Let us reason these matters. This is not a dictatorial mandate. It is an invitation to reason. Sir Henry Drummond once said, "He that will not reason is a bigot. He that cannot reason is a fool. He that dares not reason is a slave." Will you reason with God today? Will you just sit down across the conference table with God and let the King of Glory speak to you and you answer him? God wants to reason with you. Say, did you know that God is interested in your burdens? God is interested in your trials. God is interested in those things that cause you anxiety and fear and frustration. God is interested in your weakness. God is interested in your questions and your doubts and your concerns. They concern him. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. When you come and sit down and reason with him, you'll learn of the matters of life and death and time and eternity and heaven and hell. He wants to reason with you. You've got questions that you want to ask him. I read of a noted scientist once who said, "I had 1,000 questions to ask God, but when I met him, they all were answered. They all were answered." All the questions that you have about that little baby that you lost. All the questions about that loved one who's been taken in death. The questions of heaven. The questions of now, of life, of your job, of your perplexities, of your problems. God wants to reason with you about these. And when you reason with him, you will learn that you are a sinner. You see, there are two classes of sinners, saved sinners and lost sinners. We all are sinners. At our very best, we are very bad. At our very strongest, we are very weak. But God wants to reason with you, and you can learn that you are a sinner and you need a Savior. And you can learn that there's only one way for you to be saved. And it's not in the church, and it's not in the papal edict, and it's not in some pronouncement by some priest or pastor or bishop. Salvation is in the Lord. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me." And Peter put it this way, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." You will learn that when you come to him. For God wants you to come and sit at his table and reason with him. I speak in the third place of the hospitality of God by saying to you that the hospitality of God offers a remarkable promise of pardon. A remarkable promise. Out in our state and federal prisons, there are many under the condemnation of death. Suppose we could go to Huntsville today and take the governor's signature written on a pardon for this person or that person. Now let me say to you that that man's pardon is not in what he receives, it's in what the governor has already done. But it is not applicable to him until he does receive it. We could take it, and if he refuses to receive the pardon, he'll go on and pay for his crime. And I would say to you today that Christ has already made way for your pardon on Calvary's cross. But you must accept it. And unless you do accept it, you'll pay for your own sins. He offers a tremendous pardon. Hear it again. "Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow." Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. You know, I believe the greatest sensation in all the world is when a man feels the load of sin lifted off his heart. When pardon and forgiveness come through Jesus Christ our Lord. What a remarkable, what a glorious promise. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Oh, they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. I read the story of a Scottish evangelist who traveled over Scotland. Before he was saved, he was a notorious character. He was guilty of every crime in the book. But the grace of God wrought a miracle in his heart and changed him. And he became a flaming evangel for Christ. The opportunity came for him to go to his hometown where everybody knew him. In a citywide effort of revival. And on the first night, just as he was ready to stand in the pulpit, an envelope was handed to him. And he opened that envelope and began to read what was written down. And his face and countenance changed. And inside was a note that read something like this. Listed here are all the crimes and all the sins that you committed in this city. The Scottish evangelist said, "Ladies and gentlemen, I started to run and hide." He said, "I want to read them to you." And he read, and after every one of them, he said, "I am guilty. I am guilty. I am guilty." And when he had finished the list, he said, "I know. I know that some of you wonder how I could stand here and talk about salvation and God and righteousness when all of these things are listed against me. I'll tell you," he said, "how I can do it." And he quoted a verse from Paul. "Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. But this is the pardon of God. Though your sins be cataloged, though they be listed in blazing letters across your memory this morning, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." On Friday morning last, I sat in my office in study and meditation for this message. And some of the workers were coming in to work with a music school. And everything was real quiet because most of the kiddos had not arrived yet. As I sat there in my study, I heard someone pick out on the piano a little chorus. Sounded like it was a one-finger job. Deep and wide, deep and wide, there's a fountain flowing deep and wide. Just the piano. Just the piano. And I thought, oh, that person doesn't know it. That person doesn't know that I'm even around or listening. But I need that in my message. I have no idea who it was, but it blessed my heart. Just the little chorus. Deep and wide. Deep and wide. There's a fountain flowing deep and wide. And the poet put it this way. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. The dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day. And there may I, though vile as he, wash all my sins away. Dear dying lamb, thy precious blood shall never lose its power till all the ransomed church of God be saved to sin no more. I'm happy to tell you that that fountain does run deep and wide, and it shall never run dry. It shall never run dry, because the hospitality of God makes a remarkable promise. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. I have a footnote and I'm through. The hospitality of God brings you face to face with a decision that only you can make. Only you can make. Only you can make. This is the hospitality of God. Let's stand for our prayer.